The Foresight Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatized by Elspeth Sands. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Alan Howard as Soames, Amanda Redman as Fleur, and Gary Bond as Michael. Episode 11.
Tim, no, darling, don't lick. You know I don't like it.
Fleur, having escaped from the arms of Wilfred Desert, was engaged in a struggle of a more serious nature. Her impulsive dash into the Cork Street Gallery, alibi essential should Michael have spotted her in the vicinity of Wilfred's rooms, had roused in her the most poignant memories.
John. I won't remember, I won't. That kind of remembering is swash.
Seated before the fire in her Chinese drawing room, Fleur struggled to control the beating of her heart and compose herself for Michael's return.
The Claude Brains exhibition. That's where I'll say I've been.
You won't keep me in your zoo, my dear. I shan't hang around and feed on crumbs like that dog.
That's the trouble with you, Wilfred. You're not modern.
Don't forget, I love you awfully.
Michael, to be the perfect wife of one man, the perfect mistress of another, and the perfect mother of a third. Marjorie Farrar would approve.
Why shouldn't I make it China? One place is as good as another.
Poor Wilfred. But I won't think about it. Thinking only leads to sentimentalism, the unforgivable offence. Besides, I've something else to think about.
Now you've been married 2 years, I suppose you'll be looking towards the future.
If it's true, your nose will be thoroughly out of joint, won't it, my ting?
There you are. Oh, I brought you this picture.
Dad! You spoil me.
With his unerring instinct, Soames always knew when his daughter needed distraction.
Have you come for the night?
If I may. Dear, business.
You don't have to have a reason.
So she is pleased to see me. I'm never quite sure.
Funny little chap. Always seems to know me.
Well, ducky, aren't you going to let me see the picture?
Well, I thought it would go with your room. The white monkey. It's a strange piece. Chinese, of course. The eyes are almost human, don't you think?
You mustn't give it to me. It must be worth any amount.
No need to tell her where it came from. She barely knew her cousin George.
I gave 300 for it. They didn't know its value.
I'm sure it's of a frightfully good period.
I don't know. I'm not au fait with the Chinese.
Eyes are extraordinary. Haunting. And that fruit it's holding, squeezed dry. It's as if... as if it knew nothing matters. Nothing lasts. It ought to be in your collection.
It'll be safer here.
Is something wrong, Dad? You sound worried.
It's this wretched Ruhr business. Something will have to be done.
Mr. Aubrey Green, ma'am.
It's this little chap I've come about.
Ting, do stop. He will lick the copper floor, Aubrey.
Why not? He's Chinese. They do everything we don't.
Dad, Aubrey Green, the painter.
How do you do?
Dad just brought me this picture, Aubrey.
By George. Look at those eyes. Why, it's a perfect allegory. Eat the fruits of life, scatter the rhymes, and get crop doing it. Where'd you pick it up, sir?
It belonged to someone I knew.
Oh, good for him. Must have had taste. A monkey's eyes, when they're still, are the human tragedy incarnate.
He wants something he can't have.
Exactly. The picture ought to be in the British Museum with the label Civilization caught out.
Well, it won't be. It'll be here, labelled the white monkey.
Why civilization, Mr. Green? If you'd said modernity...
Yeah, same thing. You don't seriously suppose this age worse than any other, do you?
It's my belief the world reached its highest point in the 80s and will never reach it again.
When men believed in God and drove about in diligences, Well, you may be right, sir. But it's the present I've come about. Fleur, may I borrow your Peak for an hour or two tomorrow afternoon?
Ting, what do you want him for?
Oh, Michael sent me a topping little model. Only she can't smile.
Michael?
I thought your Peak might just work the miracle. Such an amusing little chap.
What do you say to that, Ting?
Yeah, you could come too. Meet my dryad.
If I agree, will you promise to get me a seance? I would adore to have one here.
Spiritualism, whatever next.
Later, when she was alone, Fleur stood back and examined her new painting.
The white monkey. I shall hang it in here. Michael, too early, surely. What shall I tell him? That I'll give Wilfred up? Why should I, since I can't have what I want? If I were all French instead of only half, I'd be able to love and deceive both men.
Yes. Mrs. Valdarte, ma'am.
Holly, what on earth? Holly! How nice of you to come.
I met your husband this afternoon at Green Street. He asked me. What a lovely room.
Michael at Winifred's. Perhaps he wasn't spying then. Cork Street is on the way back to his office.
I haven't seen you since the day I didn't marry John.
And all at once, Fleur's mind flooded with memories. Wansdon, the Downs, the apple orchard, the river, Robin Hill.
Have you come for tea? I do hope so. There's so much I want to ask you. Do sit down. You don't mind tingling, do you?
Oh, he's very pretty.
He's Chinese. How's Belle? And dear Wansdon, I do think of it. It was so wonderfully peaceful.
Yes, it's a nice backwater.
And John? What news of him?
He's growing peaches in North Carolina.
Oh. Is he married?
No.
I suppose he'll marry an American.
He isn't 21, you know.
Good Lord, am I only 20? I feel 48.
It's being in the middle of things and seeing so many people.
And getting to know none.
But don't you?
It isn't done. We call each other by our Christian names, but après...
I liked your husband very much.
Oh, yes. Michael's a dear.
What do all you smart young people think about life nowadays, Fleur? I'm afraid I only know simple folk.
Life? Oh, well, we know it's supposed to be a riddle, but we've given up on it. We just want to have a good time.
And do you?
I rather suspect we don't know how. We just fly on and hope we'll find it.
Don't you believe in anything?
Well, I like to get hold of nice things and interesting people. I see a frightful lot of writers and painters, you know. They're supposed to be amusing.
Is this a new picture?
My white monkey. Isn't it a gem? A perfect allegory of the human condition, don't you think?
I wonder if June would agree with you.
June? The last time I saw her was on my wedding day. She was very kind. How is she?
Loyal as ever.
Yes, I can believe that. I liked June.
And I like your picture. Though it makes me feel sad.
It's because he has everything except the one thing he wants. Well, that's why I like it. It reminds me what swash sentiment is.
After her unexpected visitor had gone, Fleur took a hammer and a nail and proceeded to hang the white monkey.
Wilfred, Michael, John. What does it matter? Since I can't have what I want, eat the fruit and throw away the rind.
Hello, Fleur.
Dad's brought us this. Isn't it perfect?
Some monkey.
Is anything the matter?
No. By the way, have you any spare clothes? Nothing too swell. I promised some to the wife of a poor snipe.
Yes, of course.
Would you put them out? I'm going to make up a bunch myself. They could go together.
Michael in the dumps. Something's wrong. I suppose you know somehow that I went to see Wilfred.
Well, why not?
It was only to tell him I couldn't see him again.
Well, you must do what you like, Fleur. It's only fair.
Michael, don't look like that. I need you to be cheerful. I'm sorry you've been worried.
There's nothing. I had too much lunch.
You're really rather an angel, aren't you?
Ah! There you are!
Oh, sir, you've startled me. Come in. You don't know my den, I think.
Caricatures. You go in for them, I see. Poor stuff.
But not modern, sir. A revived art.
Never cared for it myself. Queering your neighbours, sort of thing that flourishes when the world's a mess.
By Jove, that's good. Won't you sit down?
Your father. I was wondering when he'd be up.
Tomorrow, I believe.
There's something I want to talk to him about. That chap Elderson.
Manager of the PPRS. He's a member of my club.
Oh, he's quite the gentleman.
He's a snorting good bridge player.
He's more than that, if Butterfield's right.
This land depression must have hit your father hard.
Well, he talks of being on the lookout for something to invest in. Soap or cars, but I wouldn't be surprised if he mortgages again and lingers on.
Well, he'd better wait for me to go. If I leave anything, that is.
I'd like you to know, sir, that what you do for Fleur, you do for Fleur.
You are happy together, aren't you?
We've never had a scrap, if that's what you mean.
If only I knew you were interested in the future.
I'm terribly fond of Fleur. But you have known better than I that I only picked up the pieces.
Who told you that?
June Forsythe. I bumped into her today.
That woman? She can't keep her foot out of anything.
It was deep, wasn't it?
Well, a boy and girl affair over months before you married.
I'm not so sure.
You must be patient. Take the long view.
I'll try my best.
She's young. She'll flutter about. It doesn't mean anything. Now, what I've been thinking, your father too, as it happens, well, a child, it would be a sort of insurance.
I can't say anything about that, sir.
No, I suppose not. It won't do, I tell you. The French had no business marching into the Ruhr.
Over dinner that evening, Soames did his best to enliven an atmosphere dull by the separate but linked unhappiness of his daughter and her husband.
Marks falling, consoles rising.
The game of life.
There's an air
is
of
that
panic.
All it is?
Take that man to
passion,
me.
Jealousy.
He gets blood out of a stone if
after
he could.
After all, I thought I'd never mind anything again. But I do.
No, you can't depend on anything
what
now.
What is Michael
Everyone
thinking?
Everyone wants to know what the purpose
Shall
of life
I tell him
is?
There's a chance I might be?
Speculation. The old generation
well,
lived life with
Wilfred will go now. I've banished him. Michael's got nothing to worry about.
If she never loved me even a little, I've no right to expect anything. I've been in the position of one receiving alms.
Poor Dad. He must be worried. I've never heard him talk so much.
You worry too much, Dad. It's not good for you.
Well, at least I'm not cynical.
Ting was sick today, in the drawing room.
Picked up something in the square, shouldn't wonder.
I don't think so, sir. He was sick because he'd been left alone. There's no one to watch his self-sufficiency.
You've got slums at the back of you here. You can't be too careful.
Ting's Chinese, you see. In China, there are 400 million people watching each other being self-sufficient. Imagine if one Chinaman were to find himself alone in the Gobi Desert. Don't you think he'd be sick?
An hour later, Fleur having already excused herself, Soames announced with relief,
I have some figures to attend to. Say good night to Fleur for me.
Good night, sir, and
thank you. Good old Forsythe. He knows more than he lets on. I wonder what the Freudians would make of him. They'd have a job to find his complex. Oh, those stars. Immensity. What matters? Personal happiness. That's how he felt in the war. Who dies if England lives? But it will come to a decision. I won't live in this house estranged. She must decide.
Michael, are you asleep?
Fleur.
Let me come into your bed.
Oh, Fleur.
I'm sorry if I've made you unhappy, Michael.
Oh, if I thought you loved Wilfred.
No, but he...
I couldn't stand it, you know, if you did. I'd have to clear out.
I've come to you, Michael. I wouldn't have done that, would I, if there'd been anything?
Oh.
Fog? Oh, Tony. No one will buy balloons in a fog.
From the door of their room in Little Ditch Street, Tony and Victorine Bickett looked out on a choking, insubstantial world.
Don't you worry, love. We'll manage.
I can't bear to see you like this. Reduced to the gutter for a living.
But I'm a capitalist now, Vic. I'm me own man. You take care of yourself now.
Oh, Tony. You're so good. If you knew what I was doing. But you won't. It's my secret. Our passage out of this choking place.
Think of art and 15 bob a day.
Think of blue butterflies and Australia. Oh, look at me. I'm so thin. Whatever will he think of me, that artistic gentleman? Ain't no one but Tony ever seen me in my skin. Yes?
Parcel for Vicky.
Oh, well, that's my name. Just a minute. Here's tuppence for you.
Oh, thanks.
Dear Bicky, here are the togs. Hope they'll be useful. It's him, isn't it? Michael Mon.
With trembling fingers, Victorine pulled out suits, shoes, socks, hats, shirts, vests. But it was Fleur's clothes which gave her the courage some hours later to take the bus to Aubrey Green's Chelsea studio. They were for Australia, her trousseau.
One skirt of lilac linen, one pair of pink silk pants, one white jumper with just the smallest hole in the sleeve, one brown knitted frock, not even worn, I reckon, one pair of pink stays with silk ribbons and suspenders, a knitted camisole, a coat. Oh, that coat. So warm. What else? Oh, yeah, a velvet toque with a tuft of goldeny brown feathers. Who could spare such treasures?
Ah, Miss Collins, come in. This is Mrs. Michael Mott. She's lending us her pekinese.
Geraniums? Them clothes smell to geraniums.
Hello, Mrs. Mont.
Hello, Miss Collins. I'm not staying. I hope Ting amuses you. Good luck with the picture, Aubrey.
Thanks, Fleur. Cheerio. Now, Miss Collins, you must be chilled after your journey. Get this inside you. Grand Marnier. Help you to relax.
Oh, thank you.
It's really nothing, you know. You wouldn't mind if I was a doctor.
I'll think of Tony and the balloons. I'll think of Australia.
Another little tot?
Oh, please.
I'll wait behind the screen. There's a little bell there. When you're ready, you just give it a tinkle.
You did say 15, Bob.
That's right. Full day 15, half a day 10.
15, Bob, and 15, Bob. How many times before? Oh, I feel all swimmy.
I shall want you lying on your face with your elbows on the ground and your hair as loose as it can be. The peak is to make you smile. I want you to imagine he's a fawn or some other bit of all right.
Tony will never know. I'll say I won it on the horses.
Drawings are born, Miss Collins. One must walk before one runs.
I'm doing this for you, Tony. To save you from those blessed balloons. Here we go.
Oh, yes. That's it exactly. Like something out of a dream. I congratulate you, Miss Collins. Your flesh tone's perfect.
An action against the board for taking unjustifiable risks. That's what we could be looking at, Mont. A dead loss of nearly a quarter of £1 million.
In the boardroom of the Providential Premium Reassurance Society, old Mont and old Forsyte were waiting to beard the gentleman manager, that chap, Elderson. Sir Lawrence had listened to Soames's account of Butterfield's story and agreed reluctantly to the cross-examination that was about to take place.
This is all very distasteful, Forsyth. I mean, Elderson and I were at Winchester together.
It's a director's duty to acquaint the shareholders with all the facts at his disposal, Mont.
But hang it, man. Elderson's a gentleman.
There's no liar like it.
I don't mind for myself. Fleur's provided for and her mother. If I'm reduced to living in a room in my club, I'll be happy enough.
So long as it's near Fleur.
Ha! You're hallucinating, my dear Forsyth. Why should you be held responsible?
Fleur doesn't understand. His head's too small.
Do you know the hymn, Oh God, Our Help in Ages Past? Hmm? Elderson and I sang it together last month. You know, he has a fine voice.
Well, gentlemen, this is an unexpected pleasure.
I'll come straight to the point, Elderson. Fact of the matter is, we have information of a very serious kind. A clerk in your employ by the name of Butterfield...
Almost word for word, Soames repeated Butterfield's story.
You had to be told, Elderson.
It's very distasteful.
Excuse me a moment.
Where's he off to now?
Ask Mr. Butterfield to come in here, will you?
Confound it, he's not suffering at all. Is this what tradition does for a man? Gives him the gumption to outface the truth?
Yes, sir. So, Mr. Butterfield, you have been good enough to exercise your imagination in my regard. You stick to this fantastic story of eavesdropping?
Yes, sir.
We have no further use for your services, then.
But sir...
Good morning, Butterfield. So much for that. He'll never get another job. I must thank you, gentlemen, for drawing my attention to this matter. I've had my eye on that young man for some time.
What do you make out he had to gain?
Foresaw dismissal, and thought he would get in first.
Dismissal? For what?
Disloyalty. This isn't the first time it's happened, you know. I've given him the benefit of the doubt before, but I can't let this pass.
I see. That's settled, then. Are you coming, Mont?
What? Yes. Bad business, Elderson. Glad you cleared it up.
Good day to you, gentlemen.
Benefit of the doubt, indeed. This needs looking into.
If only I could believe her. Be sure of her again.
The following afternoon found Michael at the Hotchpotch Club.
John Forsythe. Why didn't she tell me? It wouldn't have stopped me, would it? I'd have taken her at any price. I've known from the start that that was how it was. But where does that leave Wilfred? Is she mine just because I saw her first?
Hey, Mr. Forsythe to see you, sir.
Hello, sir. Haven't seen you here before. Are you with us tonight?
I'm with Winifred at Green Street. I've come up about a young man. I want you to find him a job.
Actually, I think it was rather sporting of your father. The fellow was quite unfairly dismissed.
Is he married?
Two children. I've asked him to call round here tonight. I told your father I'd see what I can do.
I saw the model you sent Aubrey yesterday, Michael. What a beautiful face. Where did you come across her?
Jealous? Could I make her? She's the wife of a packer we used to employ.
No, it's a low-down thought.
Did you know Aubrey's going to paint her in the nude?
Sure, I say. Ought I to stop that? Her husband's a decent snipe.
She won't tell him.
Of course. Women don't tell, do they?
I'm afraid he'll find her rather thin.
I'm not jealous, Michael.
No. Wish to heaven you were.
It's all right, Ting. That was Michael. He must have gone to his club. That's not like him. Oh, what am I to do, Ting? I veer and flutter after the future when the truth is I only believe in the past.
Voice in the night crying. Down in the old sleeping Spanish city, darkened under her white stars.
I won't remember. I won't. That's better. I'm happier in the dark. I can see myself more clearly. Pretty bird in a golden cage. That's what I am. It's true, Ting. I have everything I want and nothing. What is it, Ducky? Do you want your walk? Don't be silly. There's no one there. Look, I'll show you. Face against the window! Wilfred.
Ah, Michael, I'm pleased to see you. Come and sit down.
Has it ever struck you, sir, what a close piece of mechanism the human face is? A man can't tell what his own wife is thinking.
It's a restless age, Michael. The war got us all used to thinking about the millennium.
Oh, I met that clerk of Elderson's tonight. He seemed to be a pretty straight sort of chap.
Ah, Forsyth's told you. Bit of a stumper, old business. Elderson and I put on 54 against Eton.
You had to try and get him taken on Danby and Winter.
Yeah, well, you're right, of course. Though I still can't believe it of Elderson.
Well, I wasn't at school with him, so I don't have your difficulty. Butterfield was in the war, you know. He's only ever worked for the PPRS. Hasn't much of a future without them.
Per ardua ad astra, through hard knocks, we shall see the stars.
Fatalism, sir. Thought you believed in the millennium.
Oh, I'm a Confucian, Michael. Most of our caste in this country are.
You don't think we have a future?
Well, from the mess we've made of these last 10 years, I very much doubt it. Well, look around you, Michael. Doesn't it strike you that we're really dead and the only life we have now is in the past?
Nevertheless, here we are alive.
Yeah, I know you. You like to believe in humanity. Well, I do too. But I fear what really drives our fellow human beings, especially those of the scientific variety, is the passion for novelty and having their own way. And since we seem to be on the brink of discovering a way to kill millions by the pressing of a button, I don't see how we can reasonably expect to survive.
Oh, some Jeremiah, Dad.
Well, I know. You keep telling me. I'm a bad, bold bot.
Where you know little, place terrors.
Well, who said that?
Christopher Columbus.
Oh. Yeah, I couldn't bring myself to wish he hadn't been so deucedly inquisitive. There was something to be said for not discovering the Yanks.
Is Bart right? You're really only living in the past? I can't believe it, I won't. It's this wretched age. We're all haunted.
The steel blue night chilled Michael's heart. Above him, the bare plane trees stood sentinel over the emptied streets.
I'm sorry if I've made you unhappy, Michael.
Is it over with Wilfred, then? Did she mean what she said? Double life. I couldn't stand for that.
So preoccupied was he failed to notice the figure walking towards him, tall, with urgency in his stride.
Wilfred! Wait! He's been at South Square, hasn't he? Oh, God. He's been to her. Has he seen me? He must have. I can't stand any more of this. It must come to a decision.
Fleur, will you answer me something truly?
Yes.
Do you want me to clear out?
No.
Do you mean that?
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't.
Will you answer one more thing?
Yes.
Was Wilfred here tonight?
Yes. No,
oh,
that is...
Fleur, don't!
I'm not. He came to the window. I saw his face. It looked... Oh, Michael, don't be unkind tonight.
Unkind?
I need to be comforted.
If only you tell me what it is you want.
Want? Oh, Michael.
I know you didn't love me when you married me. I don't think you love me now.
Oh, I'm a selfish brute. I don't deserve you, Michael.
How can you say that when you're all I've ever wanted? Do you want me to look for Wilfred? If it's all over, he might be feeling desperate.
Yes, I'd like that. I didn't ask him to love me, Michael.
I know.
I'll go to bed, then. Come along, Ting. By the way, this is my second no-go. I suppose it means...
A child. Oh, Fleur!
The night of the balloon. Do you mind?
Mind? How can you think mind?
That's all right, then. I don't. Good night.
And suddenly, it was as if the bark of Michael's being, tossed and broken on the waves, had reached safe harbour.
A child coming? A future? What price Bart's terrors now?
Yes, sir?
Mr. Desert in?
No, sir. Mr. Desert has left for the East.
What?
It was a sudden decision, sir. He catches the train for Plymouth at midnight.
What can I say to him? Child will anchor, Fleur. But Wilfred, I remember what we used to say in the war. The world is big. Oneself not so dashed important. There he is. He looks... Light, old boy.
Thanks.
Where are you headed?
Jericho.
God, Wilfred, I'm sorry.
Cut it out.
Shake hands.
Of course. Here. Take this. Wretched things. Publish them if you like.
Thanks, old man. That's great. Goodbye.
So long.
Good luck, old man. Godspeed.
For Michael, it was the beginning of a period of calm. The heart, the closest of all pieces of human mechanism, was after all a resilient organ. Where Fleur's heart was concerned, Michael knew he was only on the threshold still. But over the next 6 months, he watched with amused adoration as his beloved harnessed her considerable powers to the creation of the 11th Baronet.
Day by day, in every way, he is getting more and more male. Day by day, in every...
The ideas of a French chemist, Émile Gouy, were enjoying a vogue among Fleur's set. Influence the subconscious, Couey had declared, and you can control events.
It doesn't have to be a boy, Ducky. I'll be equally happy with a girl. Male.
You don't know anything about it.
With the coming of the Whitsun Bank Holiday, Fleur, now 7 months into her pregnancy, sought the cool of Maple Durham and the reassuring presence of her mother. Tony and Victorine Bickett, on the other hand, sought distraction.
Not Tony! Isn't it exciting? Oh, I do love MCD.
Choose anything you like, Vic. I sold the old bally lot.
You and your balloons.
Oh, look, the merry-go-round. What do you say?
Gosh, Tony. Should we?
Why not? It's safe as houses.
It was not fear for their safety which had made Victorine hesitate, but knowledge of the 10 £5 and 4 £1 notes that she was wearing attached to the pink silk stay that had once been Fleur's.
Only 10 more pounds to go.
As a model, she'd been in demand, posing in the altogether no longer held terrors for her. Not every painter had treated her with the courtesy of Aubrey Green, but she had kept her honour and her dignity.
Two more weeks and I can snap my fingers at a lot of them. Lord, Tony! It's heaven!
We're flying, Vic! We're flying!
From the merry-go-round, the Bickets made their way to the ponds where they watched children taking donkey rides, old men snoozing in deck chairs, dark women telling fortunes.
Penny from Vic.
I was thinking of Australia.
Later, as the warmth began to go out of the sun, they joined other lovers dancing on the grass.
They dance on board ship, Tony.
Don't you worry, Vic. I'll do the trick yet, even if I have to rob a bank.
The moon rose, and a subtler magic began to work in their veins.
Oh, it's been the most perfect day, Vic. It's poetry. You, me, that moon coming up.
I don't want it to end.
We'll go home on the very last tube.
Cripes! Ain't that like you?
Like me? What?
This picture. Look. Afternoon of a Dryad.
Oh, my God. It's not like me at all.
It is. It's like you all over.
What are you doing? It's not your paper.
It don't belong to no one. It's been left on the train.
It isn't decent.
Demetrius Gallery. I'm going to see that picture.
I've got to stop him. Oh, God, why did he have to see it? I had my story off pat. Sovereign invested on the winner of the 2,000 guineas. The winnings from that on the Dead Eater for the Jubilee. He'd have believed me for sure. It's funny to think there's people in the world so like each other.
Soon be home, Vic. Don't want you catching cold.
Arms linked, Tony and Victorine scurried along the rat runs of the tube.
If he goes to that gallery, he'll know.
In the crush of people, Victorine spied her chance. A quick movement of her hand, and the incriminating picture was torn into scattered pieces.
There. I'm safe now, so long as you don't remember that gallery's name.
Ah, Mrs. Bickett. Do sit down.
I've come about the picture, sir.
Picture?
That Mr. Green did. Of me.
Oh, Afternoon of a Dryad. I've seen it. It's topping, Mrs. Bickett.
It's got into the papers. My husband's seen it.
Oh.
He doesn't know about me, see? I've made a lot of money, almost enough for the fairs. But if Tony were to find out...
Yes, I see.
Thing is, he might go to Mr. Green. Would you mind, sir, as he's your friend, asking him to say it was someone else, just in case, like...
No, of course not. Do you really think your husband would mind?
I'm not ashamed of what I've done, sir. I've been quite respectable. But I don't mind telling you. When I saw that picture in the paper, I was scared.
My God, money's an evil thing.
The want of it is, I know.
How much do you need, Mrs. Bickett?
Only another £10, sir.
Well, you must let me give it to you, since I got you into this hole.
Oh, no, sir. I can easily earn it. A few more days don't matter.
But how are you going to account for having the money?
Say I won it, betting.
Thin. Now, Mrs. Bickett, you much better tell your husband I advanced the lot. Say you had a brainwave and came to see me. The great thing is for you to get away sharp.
I don't want you to have to tell a falsehood for me, sir.
Oh, it won't worry me a bit, Mrs. Bickett. I can lie to the umpteenth when there's no harm in it. And if your husband insists on repaying the loan from Australia, I'll arrange to credit your bank again out there. No, don't cry, Mrs. Bickett. You do a lot for your husband, and he do a lot for you. Really, you're very fortunate.
Aubrey did say it would be quiet.
A private view. You, me, and the 11th Baronet.
Afternoon of a Dryad. Ooh, I don't know if I find the right words.
Compare it to Leonardo. That's what I did. Can't fail.
It's charming, Aubrey. And awfully like... At least it makes one think of...
Leonardo, didn't I tell you? The thing's got meaning, old man. I don't know what the critics will do to you.
Well, you can blame it on your Dryad, Michael. She led me on.
Oh, which reminds me. She came to see me this morning, wanted me to ask you to put up a barrage if by any chance her husband blows round. Mm-hmm. Seems he's seen a reproduction of the picture.
Well, what do you say, Fleur? Shall I?
Of course.
What's his name?
A Bickett.
An angry young husband called Bickett said... Turn yourself round and I'll kick it. You have painted my wife in the nude to the life. Do you think, Mr. Green, it was cricket?
Fine balloons. Two for a bob.
D. It started with a D.
Take one for your little boy, madam. Only sixpence.
Foreign. Bound to be. Them naked pictures always are.
Fine balloons. Two for a bob.
Demetrius. That was it. Afternoon of a Dryad at the Demetrius Gallery.
Poor Bickett. Imagine if I'd come on you like that.
I shouldn't have looked nearly so nice.
Oh, much nicer.
You're forgetting the 11th Baronet. Really, Michael, why should Bickett mind? This is the age of emancipation.
Oh, good Lord, Ducky, you don't imagine Bickett. I know we emancipated people think we're the world, but we're not. The old values, the old prejudices, they're no more abolished than the rows of villas and little grey houses.
Oh, if you say so, Michael.
42 million people in this country and only 150,000 have ever heard a Beethoven symphony.
I've been thinking, Michael. I'd like to change my bedroom curtains to blue. They say blue has an effect on the mind.
The 11th Baronet.
I saw the exact colour yesterday at Hatton's.
You must have whatever you want, darling. Paint the ceiling blue if it helps.
Afternoon of a Dryad. It's aptly named. The girl's extraordinary. Delicious skin tone. And that smile.
It's her. To the life.
Wonder where Aubrey found her.
I'd like to buy the blinking thing and burn it.
That's all very well, Demetrius, but in my view it's too highly finished. Take off 20% and I'll buy it.
No. I know that voice. My first day. The alderman who bought the balloons.
Oh, very well, then. Though you're doing me, I'll send it round to my daughters at South Square. You know the number.
Oh, I've got to get out of here. I feel queer all over.
Contemplating the future, Mr. Forsyth. Hmm?
Ah, Elderson. I was thinking of the picture I've just bought.
Cool as a cucumber. How does he do it?
I'm glad you've come in. It gives me a chance to say how grateful I am for the interest you take in the concern. It's rare. A manager has a lonely job.
Must be leading up to something.
I'm not happy about business, Mr. Forsyth, and that's a fact. You were right to advocate the abandonment of the German contract. A dead loss of 230,000 may seem drastic, but with the mark still falling...
No good crying before we're hurt. The pound's still high.
Bring things to a head. Isn't that your philosophy, Mr. Forsyth?
Can look and look into chaps like that and see nothing. Not that I want a scandal.
The visit had achieved nothing. Soames was as far as ever from proving Elderson's guilt.
Forsyth! Well met. Going my way?
No idea.
I'm off to the club.
I've been seeing Elderson. Michael tells me he's bought 2 copies of your book.
The deuce he has. Poor fella.
Who do you think sold them to him? Young Butterfield.
Good heavens. He's still alive?
He was this morning.
I've been hearing, Forsyth. Apparently, Elderson keeps 2 women.
Ah, that might account for it.
My wife says it's 1 too many.
A few moments later, the 2 men parted company. Soames more convinced than ever that titles were of no use to a man.
Can't take anything seriously. What's the trouble with old Mont?
What in thunder?
From the Demetrius Gallery, Bickett had hurried straight home. So agitated was he couldn't at first make out what had happened to his room. It was full of balloons. Green, blue, orange, magenta.
You don't need them now, Tony. Look! £64. I've got it all. We can go.
What?
I had a brainwave. I went to that Mr. Mont who gave us the clothes. He advanced it. We can pay it back when we like. He's not bothered.
Bickett took in his wife's smile, her excited flush, and a strange feeling shot through him. Mr. Mont had been decent to him. He was a gentleman. But all of a sudden...
She's lying, isn't she? They've taken me in.
Kiss me, Tony.
Her arms were around him. She clung so tight he couldn't move.
Kiss me!
Vic!
Bickett's head reeled. He tried to think, but his body was gripped by vertigo.
We're free! At last! Kiss me, Tony!
Ah, Bickett, I suppose you've come about the little advance to your wife. It's quite all right, no hurry whatever.
I've come to ask you about this wrapper. I took it from a book on the counter downstairs. Is that my wife?
little snipe's guest. What to do, with a lie benevolent or a clean breast?
I see from your face that it is. You've got to tell me, sir. What's it all mean? If this is her face, then that's her body in the gallery. I tell you, sir, I'm going wild over all this.
Steady, Vicky.
You never advanced that money, did you?
I lent her £10 to make a round sum of it. The rest she earned honourably.
How?
As a model. You've heard of models, I suppose.
Model? Well, then she... Oh, that painter Aubrey Green swine.
Now, pull yourself together, Bicky.
Lying like that for all the world to see.
Do you suppose she liked it?
Well, what should I know?
Do you happen to remember what you did for her?
You've never told her.
No, but I jolly well will if you don't pull yourself together.
It's all very well for you, sir. It hasn't happened to you.
He has got his shirt out. We all get up against it sometimes, Bicky, and that's the test of us. What you have to do is believe in her. There's nothing else for it.
The picture was bought by a ruddy alderman.
My father-in-law, as a matter of fact.
Very well for him, living on turtle soup.
The picture's very fine, Bicket. It's to hang in our house.
Fine, is it? I'll tell you what's fine, sir. Money, that's what. Money'll buy the art out of your chest.
So you know.
I know you've made a show of yourself for all London to see. What I want to know is the rest.
If you think there's a rest, that's enough.
Oh, Vic, don't be mysterious. I'm half off me nuts.
I see that, and I see this. You are what I thought you. There! You can go to Australia without me.
Not me.
Well, I can't keep it. I earned it to get you out of this.
Vic, swear you never let him touch you.
Yes, I can swear that.
When you were ill, I stole for you. I've got the sack for it.
Tony. You never told me. Oh, Tony.
I don't care about anything, Vic. So long as you're fond of me.
Oh, let's get out of this, Tony. This awful room. This awful country. Let's get out of it all.
I've been thinking, Michael. What should we do about the 11th Baronet? How are we to raise him?
Let him rip.
He must be taught something.
Could bring him up as a sun worshipper.
Seriously, Michael?
Well, considering his breeding, I fancy he'll be a bit of a sceptic.
But I don't want him to be. Scepticism only makes one restless.
But then the only thing is to teach him a sense of other people. With the slipper, if necessary.
Yes. Mother used to try, but Father wouldn't let her.
Well, I fancy he'll be a sunny little cuss.
Oh, I hope so. I don't want him greedy and self-centred. It's in my blood, you know. I can see it's ugly, but I can't help it. How do you manage not to be?
Oh, but I am greedy, Ducky. Look at the way I want you. Nothing will ever cure me of that.
Well, I want our son to be just like you.
Oh, if he's like me, I shall disown him. Sons are supposed to take after their mothers.
I meant in character. You're the best person I know.
Gosh!
Careful. Mustn't betray my feelings. The age is unsentimental.
I'm not half as nice to you as you deserve, Michael.
Good Lord, Ducky!
She isn't beginning to love me, is she?
I thought you were.
A few minutes later, Michael brought the boat into the landing stage.
Do you remember the night you found me down here? I was on my uppers. I didn't think I'd got an earthly.
I remember.
You told me to come again when you knew you couldn't get your wish.
That's gone, Michael. It's gone at last. There's nothing wrong now except my own nature.
Well, either your father's here or mine. There's a prehistoric hat.
Ah, there you are. This dog's been keeping me company.
Sorry you've had to wait, Dad. We've been on the river.
Why don't you go upstairs and rest, Fleur? You look tired.
I'll see you both at dinner. Mm-hmm. Come along, Ting.
I've had this. Read it. It's from Elderson. He's levanted. We shall have to call shareholders together, explain this dicky dealing. We'll be hard put to avoid a scandal.
Oh, I don't see how you can be blamed, sir.
There's no connection in life between reward and your deserts. I should have thought the war taught you that.
I'm sorry, sir. Can I help at all?
You can get your father round here. I don't see why he shouldn't have a sleepless night as well.
An hour later, Sir Lawrence having been tracked down at his club, Elderson's letter was again held up to scrutiny.
Where do you think he's gone, Forsyth? Constantinople?
More likely Monte Carlo. Secret commission? It's not an extraditable offence.
I think he's gone to escape his women.
Yeah. Well, the mischief's done now, sir. Is there anything to be gained by making it public?
We have conclusive evidence of fraud. If we conceal all knowledge of that, we're accessories after the fact. The shareholders have suffered a loss and have a right to know the cause. It may be there's some means of restitution they could avail themselves of. A remedy against ourselves, for instance.
If that's so, Forsyth, then I'm with you.
Gallantry, good God, as if that fits the case.
I tell you one thing, Mont. This would never have happened in our father's day. Can't you just say a member of the board? I don't see why my name has to be brought into it.
It was you brought the matter to our attention, Mr. Forsyth. I don't see how you can expect to be kept out of it.
Old goat. So he wants me to take the rub, does he? So much for honesty.
Very well, we accept the need to call a special meeting of the shareholders, but I have to tell you, Forsyth, the whole thing is a confounded nuisance. If it hadn't been for you, Elderson would never have bolted.
Eat the fruits, scatter the rinds, and get caught doing it. Huh. That young painter said a clever thing.
Returning to South Square, and being told that Fleur was upstairs resting, Soames sought comfort from George's white monkey. The special meeting of the shareholders had been called for a month's time.
It will be a scandal. No avoiding it now.
And Soames remembered.
Paper! Paper! Solicitor's divorce! Cousin named as co-respondent!
I won't think about it. I'll make another settlement on Fleur and the child. I'll talk to her mother about it. She says I worry too much, but someone has to. Day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Day by day.
Had Annette been present, she would have smiled.
50,000 is very generous, sir. I wanted you to understand this, Michael, before I sign it. The interest is Fleur's until her eldest child, if it's a boy, is 21, when the capital becomes his absolutely. If it's a girl, Fleur retains half the income for life, the rest becoming payable to the girl when she attains the age of 21 or marries.
Soames's mind was at rest. He'd always found it necessary to worry. It was a kind of insurance against the worst. And he'd done all he could. Now it was a question of waiting.
Have you decided on names?
We thought Christopher. Anne, if it's a girl.
Ah. When, exactly?
A fortnight.
Do you, believe in this twilight sleep? I don't like to think of Fleur suffering.
I don't know, sir. I'd like to. Morphine and scopolamine. Fleur's worried that it's not natural. Only it weren't so damnably hot.
I don't seem to care about anything. It's a funny feeling.
It's the heat.
One more person in the world. What does it matter?
Don't. It matters frightfully.
Is Wilfred's book out?
Comes out tomorrow.
I'm sorry I gave you such a bad time over that. I only didn't want to lose him.
Nor did I, goodness knows.
He's never written, I suppose.
No.
Well, I expect he's all right by now. Nothing lasts. Not even wanting.
I do, I'm afraid.
I should take this picture down if I were you.
Why, sir?
Those eyes. I don't think Fleur should be reminded. Not till after.
I believe you're right. That monkey is a haunting kind of brute. right, darling? Were you asleep?
Where's Tim?
Under the bed. He hates thunder.
I'm frightened, Michael. I wish you were over.
Oh, my darling. You knew how much I loved you. It's only a little summer kick-up, darling. It'll be over directly.
But Michael knew that Fleur didn't mean the storm.
In episode 11 of the Foresight Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogarde, Soames, Alan Howard, Fleur, Amanda Redman, and Michael, Gary Bond. Philip Sully played Wilfred Desert, Paul Daneman, Sir Lawrence Mont, Sue Broomfield, Victorine, Stephen Garlick, Tony Bickett, and John Bull, Aubrey Green. Holly was played by Elizabeth Mansfield, John, Gary Cady, Elderson, Donald G, Butterfield, Nicholas Gilbrook, Sir Luke Sharman, John Moffat, and Stack by Danny Schiller. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The director was Sue Wilson.